I think that it's very good that we recognize dads. I think it's very good that we recognize mothers. I think it's very good that we recognize dads. But I want to recognize dads in a very particular way this morning. Dads, I want you to go away with one thought today. I'm not going to browbeat you. I'm not going to talk about all the things that we are supposed to be doing. Generally, that's what we talk about on Father's Day. But I've got to be honest with you, men, I believe you know those things. I don't believe you're ignorant of the fact that you should be a good dad. I don't think you're ignorant of the fact that you ought to come to church. I don't think you're ignorant of those things. But dad, I want to talk to you about the power that you possess today. It's yours. You have it. It belongs to you. I want to ask, what are we doing about it? What are you doing about the power that you possess being dad? Being that man that somebody looks up to. You say, well, I'm not a dad today. Don't worry. I'm going to get to the young men too. And the power that you possess as a young man. Now, you may think right off the bat, well, you're going to start talking about charismatic issues when you mention the word power in a Baptist church. Oh, my soul, you must be getting charismatic on me. But understand this, I believe we sing a song called There's Power in the Blood. I believe that Jesus Christ has given us a wonderful power in prayer. I believe that we are afforded a power that very few others are afforded. What's sad is we don't talk about it because we're afraid. We're afraid that people might think differently of us. But let me tell you something. I'm going to show you some scripture in the Bible, and then I'm going to liken it to your life as it pertains to today. What do you do today? My daughter got me a wonderful shirt for Father's Day. It says Michigan on it. It's great power in that shirt. I'm planning wholeheartedly to walk around the church property eradicating the Ohio State Buckeyes walk that was had by Brother Myers yesterday. We're trying to build a building out there, sir, not dig holes, so I'm going to get a praise the Lord. But I want to have a good day today. Dads, if nothing else, we need you. We need you. You're the only dad that you can be. Nobody can be dad for you. You're it. Young men, you're the only young man that you can be for you. And I'm going to be honest with you. I know I'm only 43 years old, but you start to think about these things. I may have more years behind me than I have ahead of me. What do I want to leave behind? Huh? I want to leave behind something that is very powerful. I want to leave behind something that matters. And I want to challenge you to do the same today. Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to 1 John. Turn to 1 John. We're going to be in chapter 2. We're going to read two verses, and then I'm going to have you sit back down. So let's please stand. So good to have our guest with us today. His babies come here to go on the buses, TJ and Nashe, and bus workers rave about those babies, and I'm glad they're here today. Terrence, it's good to have you today, sir. Thank you so much for being with us. That bus ministry matters, folks. I hope you know that. Pray, the buses are passed, and now they got some issues that we got to fix. God's good, amen. There's never a dull moment for Brother Dan Sabo and Brother Jim. All right, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now skip over to verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Let's pray today. Brother Colton Sievert, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. For better or for worse, I pass down to my children things. For better or for worse, I pass down to them habits. I pass down to them things that they do in their life on a regular basis, whether it be by osmosis or just by example alone. I pass things on to my children. I pass things on to my son. He likes the Michigan Wolverines. Why? Because his daddy does. He hates Ohio State. Why? Because his daddy does. And those things are things that we pass on. And I'm not saying that for the rivalry today, but I'm just saying that you will pass things on to your children. You'll pass them on. And dads, I want to let you in on something. You pass on your bad points too. Just to let you know what you pass on to your children. My little temper, it's not so little, I've passed on to my son. He has that same temper that I do. He's learned from his grandpa as well that there's just innate desire to have a temper. And I'm going to be honest with you. Being a preacher, I think you ought to have a little temper. I think you ought to be a little bit aggravated from time to time. I know that they want to get you to rein in your temper, and I think you ought to be able to hold back your temper some. But you know what, guys? Sometimes there's things that you ought to get mad about. Not just when your kid breaks your window. I'm talking about there's things that you ought to get mad about, and there's things that you ought to let your children know. Now, I'm asking you these, or telling you these things, because I want you to know something. Dads, you have a great power in your life. Now, these scriptures say, I write unto you because. He's writing unto them to admonish them or exhort them or to help them and turn their eyes to what he's writing. He's telling them that you have these things in your life. These are part of you. I've passed them to you, or your family has passed them to you. Just like Lois and Eunice passed down to Timothy, and aren't you glad that she did? Pass down a lifestyle to their children to be raised for Christ. Now, I understand this, and I know that you're going to look at me and say, well, my children didn't turn out that way. If you lived your life the way you're supposed to live your life, and your children didn't turn out the way that they were supposed to for Christ, or as you would have them to turn out, children make their own decisions. And I'll get to you people in a minute. Understand this, dads, it is still your job to do right. Regardless of how your kids are going and what they're doing, you've got to do right. You want your children to do right, but you've got to do right. Yep. Let me say that again. That's pretty good if you think about it. I know it's simple. You want your children to do right, but you must do right. Amen. If you don't do right, then you can never look at your children and say, do right. Yep. It's like being a smoker and telling your children not to smoke. Yep. Good luck with that. Amen? Well, I smoke. Whatever. I'm against smoking. I think it's nasty. I just do. It's difficult. A miserable habit to have, and I don't know one smoker that says, I wish I'd just keep smoking. Really, the vast majority of smokers want to get rid of their cigarettes. I'm not against them. I feel bad that that culture that they were raised in, back in the day, smoking was cool. I mean, come on. And by the way, you look at a smoker and say, what a bad habit. What about your habits? Come on now. Oh, boy, the amen stopped. I don't have any habits. Shut up. You, it's Father's Day. I thought you was going to be nice. I am being nice. I have habits, too. Don't ask my wife. She'll tell you. Understand this, though. You have a power that you've been given. That power that to pass on the things that you know. The things that you know. Now, wait a minute. What does that mean, brother? There's very important foundational things in these verses. And Paul is writing specifically to men. He's writing specifically to dads. What does that mean? That means it's not your wife's job to pass on your faith. Huh? It's not your wife's job. It's not my wife's job to make sure my kids are reading their Bible. It's my job. What a power that's been given to me. It's not my wife's job to make sure that we are churchgoers. Huh? It's my job to make sure that we are churchgoers. The women right now are going, yeah, this is nice. The power that you have to train your children to go to church is a wonderful power indeed. the power to train your children to know that their sins are forgiven is a wonderful power indeed. My dads, what do you know? What do you know? What power do you possess in your life right now? What do you have in your life that you may not look at as a power? You may not look at something that's wonderful. You may look at something, well, it's just commonplace. It's just happenstance. I have had that because it's been given to me. Well, let me tell you, somebody worked to give it to you too. Now it's our power and our duty and our job to give it to the next generation. Fathers, you've got a job to do, and that job is to pass on the faith that you have to your children. Let me tell you, if I stop right with me and say, I'm no longer going to pass on what I believe to my children, do you think for 1 minute that we entertain, even for one nanosecond in my house, that the NIV is the Word of God? Why? I've passed it on to my children. That's the power that's been given to me. That's the abilities that God has given to me to pass on to my children, to let them know that my faith that comes from the Scriptures alone should be something that they know. What a power that is, men. Do you understand what you can't let me be your child's dad. Somebody help me today. Listen, I'm the principal of Bethel Baptist Christian Academy. I'm not your child's dad. Your child is going to get more learning from you than they'll ever get from me. You've got yourself out of place. You've given the power and authority to somebody else that ought not have it. You have that power, dads. That power's been given to you. That authority's been given to you. We've taken away the authority of the house, but we haven't taken it. The authority of the house has been given away. Dads, have you given the authority in your house to the government? Wait a minute, where'd that come from? The government can't raise your child. Nobody's going to watch your child better than you. Nobody. I don't care who you are. Dads, you're going to love your child more than the other dad does. You've got to come to grips with something. We've been given a very powerful tool, and that power is to pass on what we believe and what we know to the ones that are coming after us. Look at 1 John again. I write unto you, fathers, verse 13, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Have you passed on Christ to your children? Oh, that's so simple. That is so simple. Have you sought for a place that preaches truth? If you're seeking, your search has ended today. Are you seeking for who Christ is? Dads, don't take for granted that your children know. Dads, can I help you a little bit? You know who created the heavens and the earth. You know that. I don't believe I'm speaking to anybody today that doesn't know who created the heavens and the earth. But do not take for granted that your children know who created the heavens and the earth. That's your job. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known who is from the beginning. You know him. You know him. You know him. If you know Christ in here today, do you understand what power you possess? Bobby Sakawi, how many people in the world do you think know who Christ really is? Think about that for a moment. How many people in the world know who Christ really is? That he is the Savior of all men. That he went to the cross and shed his precious blood for your sins and for my sins. That our sins may be forgiven. Yea, washed away. Yea, remembered no more. Somebody say amen that your sins are forgiven. Amen. Woo! That ought to make you excited. If you're ecumenical or Episcopal in here today, that'll get you excited whether you like it or not. Your sins are gone. But do your children know? My kids have got to know, and by the way, I got to believe that my kids would take advantage of this more than anybody else, that their sins are forgiven. I'm going to whoop them, though, I'll tell you that. I'm forgiven. You'll be forgiven right after this. It's been a long time since I've had to spank Natalie. I think at least 48 hours. Wait a minute. She needs to know that her sins are forgiven. I've been challenging the older teenagers, and like I said, I'm coming to you for a minute. Don't fall asleep now. It would be bad. I've been challenging the teenagers. They've learned from their daddies. Most of you have learned from your daddy. Some of you haven't, but you know what? That's even a greater power that you've been given, and I'll get to that in a minute. My daughter has learned from me, but I can't have my daughter and Tiffany and Luke, I can't have them relying on my faith to have their faith. You can't be a good enough dad for your children. You can't. You've got to teach your children to seek the Lord. I'll give you a perfect example. The first thing, and I know we've hashed this territory before, but the first thing that a preacher wants to do is send their kids off to Bible college. It's what they want to do. I mean, it's in their minds, Bible college. And I'm going to tell you, you rewind my life back 6 years, and I was going to force my daughter to go to Bible college because I just thought that that's what she should do for a year. I've heard it and must be right, so I just went ahead and did it. Here's the grips I came with real quick, though, and I want you to hear this. She is a child. I understand that. She's 18, adult now, according to state. But in my eyes, she's still my baby. Understand this. I had to think about this. Because that's the age. Austin, that's the age you are now, buddy. Now, yes, does he still need to listen to his daddy? Does she still need? You better believe it. Have you ever seen this guy wrestle? I would never go against the stash. Wait a minute. I've passed on. Wait a minute. Now, you need to hear this because this is important. I've passed on, tried to pass on what I believe to my daughter. What a power that is. Right? She's not Catholic because I'm Baptist.
That's right.
Say what you want. Listen, I'm independent fundamental Baptist because my father-in-law is. That's the way it started out. Now you, what?
That you're not supposed to be that because of him.
It has to start somewhere. Say what you want to. That's the power that he possessed. The power that he possessed was to pass on what I know. I owe everything in my ministry to the man sitting right here. Now you can say that's foolishness, but along the way I got my own faith. The faith is same as his, but he couldn't give me his faith. He could just teach me his faith. So along the way, I'm teaching my daughter, whether I like it or not, she's in my classroom every day. And dads, whether you like it or not, your kids are in your classroom every day. The day that you get up and yell at your wife and get mad at her, and maybe she deserves it. But at the very same time, your child's in your classroom. And you're teaching them. And I'm not saying you can't get loud. The Ballard household is never quiet. Nothing wrong with that. Every family is different. And you need to hear this too. Why in the world would you think because your family's quiet that you're better? We just can't hear you. Amen? Preacher, do we have a bad house? We have a wonderful house. I love it. You should come over there for dinner. Most people come over there just to hear us yell. That's normal speech. Pass the potatoes! Because if you don't yell, they won't come. Can I help you? Each family in here that's represented in this room today is different. Every marriage in this room is different. Every dad in this room is different. Here it is, dad, and this is the power that you possess. You are individualized families. Yes, you should get counsel from the Lord. Yes, you should get counsel from your pastors. Yes, you should get counsel from your preachers. Yes, on all those accounts. Yes, you should. But at the very same time, don't you try to conform to somebody else because you think they're better. You let God steer your family.
Amen. Yep.
You need to hear that over and over again. You let God steer your family. Come into my house and tell me how to run my family.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-mm. A lot of things I'll tolerate. That ain't one of them. Don't tell me how to run my family. Don't tell me how to run my kids. Anybody, state, other, I don't care. Whoever it is, don't tell me how to run my kids. Dads, that's the power you have. Listen to me now. Dads, that's the power you have. But that is a very huge responsibility. What you're teaching your children is a large responsibility. That power that you've been given is the power to shape a new generation. I've always said it, and I'll continue to say it. the teenagers represented in this room are our future. Well, you may not want to admit that, but you were a teenager once too. Some of you long, long ago. But you at that time were the future. I'm so very glad that Carl McDaniel at one time or another, he was our future. And now here he is passing on what he knows. Amen? I'm so thankful that that happened, because now his present is going to have to pass on to the next generation. What kind of power is that? Do you know why religion and churches and all, let's use independent fundamental. Brother Rod, you travel all over the place. I've got to believe if you would be willing to give a testimony that many of the churches have become at the very least diluted in the faith. At the very least, very weak on Baptist heritage. At the very least, weak on local church. At the very least, weak on soul winning and getting people baptized and all those things. They become weak on those. Why? Because people haven't passed it down. It's much easier to put drum sets and coffee in this church and to get the pews filled. It's much easier. But it's not right. It's much easier to let your children have their own computer. Much easier. It's much easier to never watch them and never monitor them on a computer. You say you do, but do you really? We are passing on something that is very, very important, man. This, what we've been given, what has been handed down, is nothing, it's not a new revelation to you. Do you think this Bible is a new revelation? It's the old books, the old paths. You've been graced with giving this power, with this authority. And he says to you, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men. And I like this. Dads, you have wonderful authority. But children, and I'll include all of you, boys, girls alike. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. He writes unto them because he's exhorting them. He's holding them up. He's saying, good job. Amen? Hey, listen, if you got a teenager that's overcome the wicked one, won't you be giving them a high five? Hey, listen, dads, if you can overcome the wicked one, I'll give you a high five. Now, you may say, wait a minute. I don't. The young men have overcome the wicked. Listen, if you're older, you should have overcome the wicked one a long time ago. Now, yes, he comes after you, and yes, you still have to face him, and yes, you still have to fight him, and you will be vexed daily and daily and daily with the devil trying to get you to trip up and fall down and mess up, and it's never going to end on this side of glory. But man, pass on that fight to the young men. Give them a reason. And I'll tell you right now, dads, they must have passed on something to the young men, because if they didn't pass it on, the young men would have never wanted to even overcome the wicked one. We try to teach the children, don't go into bars. There's darkness there. There's wickedness there. There's horrible things there. Don't drink alcohol. Don't do all that. And if the kids do it, they've overcome the wicked one. Glory to God. Where'd they learn that from? Huh? If you sit home drinking alcohol, what are your kids going to do? Well, Brother David, your parents sat at home and drank alcohol, and look how you turned out. Fantastic. Good argument. I would love to take that chance with your children. The power that you've been given. Would you rather put three bullets in a six-shot revolver and keep pulling knowing you got a 50-50 shot of not being hit? I think I've got a lot more hope for a child that's got a dad that wants to pass something on. I've got a lot more hope for a child that has a dad that wants to give him what he's learned. I've got a lot more hope for a young man overcoming the wicked one if he's got a dad that wants him to overcome the wicked one. Doesn't always work that way. And by the way, let me help you out. Although this is a wonderful manual for people, everything you need is in here. You may have to search for everything that's in here differently because you're different. The truth is always the same. That never changes. The truth is always the truth, and the ways are always the ways. But sometimes people have to fight for going over the wicked one in ways that are distinguished, are different. I'll give you an example. Everybody knows my testimony. Last day I ever drank alcohol in my entire life, I got so drunk that I don't remember even where I was. And I traced my steps back, and I drove across the expressway, I-75, drove across the perpendicular. I should be dead today, no doubt about it. But by the grace of God, there go I. It took that happening to me to not want to do that anymore. It may not take that for you. That's what I'm trying to get at. It might be different how you get there. But nonetheless, I got there, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that because where could I be? Man, you got to ask yourselves a question. Yep. We spend so much time thinking about where we are. Where could you be? Right. Hey, let's rewind your life a little bit, drug addict. Let's rewind your life a little bit, alcoholic. Let's rewind your life a little bit, sinner. Let's rewind. Oh, you do still sin. I hope you know that. I want to rewind your life a little bit and just say, hey, wait a minute. What could you be doing? Where could you be? You could be part of dads. What power do you have? I want you to think about this. Let's use a good kid. I'll pick on Jim for a minute. By the way, we've got lots of them right now. We got lots of good kids. Jim, can I ask you a question? What if your daddy was an alcoholic? Where would you be? Huh? See, that's a tough question to ask yourselves, Dad. What has God done for you? Huh? What do you think? Do you like being a dad, Bobby? I asked you the other day. You said, man, I really like it. It's really great. I never saw Bobby being a dad. He was always, the girl's always, oh, it's Bobby. He's got dreamy eyes and such a wonderful physique. He's the wonderful thing in the whole wide world. Everybody. You landed him, sis. Good job. But let me tell you something, son. You have something that a lot of people your age don't have, buddy. One of the greatest soul winners ever come through here is Bobby Sakawi. Hope you know that. You have something that a lot of people have. You had a daddy. And I know your daddy's passed away, son. But what did he give you? What did he give him, Stevie? That was a good man. In his last day, caring about people that might have been in danger. That's how he gave his life. Caring about people on a railroad bridge because he thought kids were going to get hurt. He goes up there and he ends up getting killed. But what did he pass on to you, son? He passed on to you a faith that you now have. What kind of power did Mr. Sakawi have? What kind of power did he have? What kind of power do you have, Dad, that you've been given by Jesus Christ? That power to pass on something to your children that really makes a difference. Do you think that your young people, do you think that your quiverful of children are going to do right if you do not? Well, I know lots of kids. You're an example, Brother Dave, that your parents didn't do right, yet you turned out right. That's the dumbest argument I've ever heard. That's a dumb argument. It's a big fat cop-out is what it is. Dad, it takes a lot to do right. Your flesh doesn't want to do it. In your flesh dwelleth what? You're so smart. You're so smart. It's not easy doing right. I know that we use our past as a wonderful crutch. And I'm looking at some of these kids that have never tasted of that life. They've never gone that direction. And that's why I don't like preachers standing up here acting like it's a trophy case because they came out of sin. That's not a trophy for me. My testimony is a shackle, not a trophy. What could I have been if I didn't go there? What could you be? What about these pure kids? What about these pure kids that have never tasted? Oh, they're still sinners. But what about these pure kids? What could they do for Christ if they stay right? Dads, what have you passed on? What a wonderful power you have that you know who was from the beginning. Is this too simple? Is this too easy on Father's Day? That what you do matters this much? It matters because, Dad, your children look up to you. My son thinks I can beat up other people's dads. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter who you are. The vast majority of you could take me, but not in the eyes of my son. In the eyes of my son, I've hung the moon. In the eyes of my daughters, I've hung the moon. What power is that? Do you see the responsibility that you've been given? What you know? What you
have been afforded. How wonderful is that? How tremendous is that? How great is that? Because you know the truth. You know who Christ is. Austin, you're never going to believe in evolution. Woo-hoo-hoo! Do you know why? Because your daddy doesn't. See, what's amazing to me is that we take this responsibility that we've been given and we blow it off like it's no big deal. We'll just keep living our lives the way we want to live and show our child that even though I do badly, it still should be all right because, bless God, all my sins are forgiven. Sure, it'd be nice if Christ didn't have to do so much forgiving. Dads, we have a giant responsibility. And if you want this type of faith to continue, the faith that is true, look at what the Bible says. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. I know I hit this so often. You got to be getting ready to vomit over it. But I don't care. I want my kids to know that the King James Bible is the pure, holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant, in my heart, Word of God.
Amen.
Now, you may not care about this after a while, but if I want to pass on one thing, I want on my tombstone to say, he believed the Word of God. I want my children to know, and I want to pass that on to them, that the truth is contained herein. And they need to know it. Why do we pass out Bibles on graduation for kids? We want them to have a copy of the Word of God. I want to pass that on because, can it be said, I want you to listen to this, can it be said, and we'll get into the next verses, I'm almost getting ready. But I want you to understand something. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. And by the way, don't you understand something? Eventually, you get weak as an older person. Do you understand that? You start to lose ability to do the things that you used to do. Dr. L. Lacey used to have suitcases that were 8,000 pounds apiece. And he always wanted the third floor of a hotel that had no elevator. There I am as a 22, 23-year-old, and I could hump those bags all the way up to the top, and I was barely breathing hard. Today, I'd take Austin with me. Why? He's stronger than I am. Don't ever believe that. The young men are strong. What are they going to do with the strength? That's the power we have. That's the power we have. Amen? Look at this, though. Because you're strong and the word of God abideth in you. What have you passed on to your children? Do you read your Bible? What a wonderful power we have. The power to have the word of God. Do you realize what power this is? The power to pray and show our kids that we do. Do your kids ever catch you praying? I got to admit, my kids don't catch me near enough. I'm talking about other than just dinner. Because let me tell you something. If meatloaf's being served, I'm on a fast. See how spiritual I get? Fasting and praying. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll eat cereal. I'm going to tell you, dads, we have a power. I'm trying to get something across to you. Dads, we have a power. Men, we have a power. And by the way, I don't care if your children have all flown the coop, you still have a power. That power that you've been given that can pass down to the young people that are represented right here. Have you ever seen Carl McDaniel miss a church service? What's he tried to teach you? Boy, that's good today. I hope you men aren't bored. I hope you men aren't feeling bad because you're all teachers. You're all professors working for Jesus Christ, teaching the younger generation what you ought to do. Eddie, you ever seen your dad miss a church service? Mm-mm. You may not make them all, but where are you today? Huh? Now, what if your daddy would have missed church services all throughout your life? You might not be here today. And I love Eddie. One of my favorite people in the whole wide world, and I've never changed that. I love him. He cleared the way for me at Hammond, Indiana by throwing a kid off the banister. I'll never forget that in my entire life.
That's horrible.
I taught him well. What power? No, wait a minute. What power does he have? What he does changes his son. What you do changes who is around you. What you do, overcoming the wicked one is winning a battle. That's what it's winning a battle. Children go through battles all the time. What's your battle? Your battle is to abstain from having premarital sex. That's a battle. So you see a virgin come up here and get married, they overcame the wicked one. And let me tell you something, parents. If you hand out condoms to your children, they're not going to overcome the wicked one. You say it's all okay because the world says it's okay. You ought to try it out. Well, let me tell you something. You're not going to the department store for a wife. You better beg God for one. And then once you find one that God's got for you, take it. Take it because it's a good thing. It's amazing to me that we won't pass down to our children that it matters what God thinks. It matters. My parents used to tell me, you're going to drink alcohol, son, drink it at home. What? Hold on now. When I was a kid, I thought they were right. Now as an older man, I've overcome the wicked one. And I want to pass on to my children that you can overcome the wicked one. I want children to come up here and be married virgins. Right here. And I'm going to make a fuss about it. I'm going to make a fuss about it. It's not right that we make a fuss over kids coming out of sin. I'm glad we make a fuss. But if we don't make a fuss about the ones that never went in, we're doing wrong. It's something special to stay out of sin. It's something special to do right in Christ's eyes. Pass that down to your children. We want to always skirt around the bad and get close as we can to it. Stay away from it.
Amen.
What power do you have to pass down? What power? You can stay home on a Wednesday night. Go ahead. What are your children going to do? Come on, help me. Dads, where are you at today? Where are you at today? Oh, I'm going to miss some church services. You'll be lucky your children even attend church. Well, my kids may go to church just because I don't. They got to get their own faith, right, preacher? Good argument. Good way to stay out of church, Dip. Let me help you a little bit, dads. You have a power that's been given to you, and you use the power. Hold on now. You use this power whether you think you're using it or not. No matter what you do, no matter where you are, you're using that power that's been bestowed upon you. You do. We watch sports in the house. And sports does not build character, it reveals it. I never get as mad in my entire life, unless somebody like Austin or Phil blocks my shot. It makes me so mad. Stupid. I'm 2 foot tall. Why wouldn't he block my shot? He's the Jolly Green Giant. But listen. We yell and we get mad and we get upset. And we're surprised that our kids do. And we tell them, don't do that. And what? Hey, houses are different. What plagues your house is your business. But no matter what you're doing, you're sitting there saying, throw a fastball, stupid! You say it to the pitcher, right? What do you think? Your kid yells, throw a fastball, stupid! What do you think they're going to do? Because that's the power that you've used. You've used it in that way. You don't mean to. You don't want your kids to go out and be stupid. But you still have that power that's been given to you. Men, watch what you do. Because that power is passed on to your children. Talk about the preacher when you're not in church. What do you think your children's going to get?
Right, right. That's right.
Oh, see, now I'm getting real meddly, right? I thought you were going to be nice. You're not being nice now. Quit talking about the preacher.
Amen.
What do you pass on to your children? You say to your child, man, I can't wait till Brother Dave wraps this up. I hate it. Hey, whatever. What are you passing on to your children? So you got to ask yourself a question. What do you want to pass on to them? Because no matter what, you are passing something. You're passing something. Paul is telling the men, man, you what a great opportunity you have to pass on what you know. What a wonderful opportunity to pass on to these young people so that they can overcome what you have overcome. What a wonderful opportunity that you can teach your children to pray. What an opportunity it is to watch your child get saved at 4 and 5 and 6 years old. How do you think that happened? It's either because of the bus ministry or because you got a mom and daddy that decided to go to church and let you hear about the Lord. What do you know? What do you know? Because what you know, you have the power to pass on to your children. Dads, what are we doing? Well, mom will take care of it. It's not her job. Not saying a gal can't do it, but she's not supposed to. Not supposed to. The dad is supposed to be the spiritual leader of the household. And the spiritual leader of the household is not supposed to grab his wife by the hair and say, teach my children. By the way, this is not the cave era. You should treat your wife like she's the queen of your house. You're one flesh. I love that teaching when a guy gets up here. Well, if your wife isn't in submission, then bless God, she ought to be. Hit her with a club or something. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Listen, your wife wants you to be in charge. No woman said amen. Not one. Not one. All right, girls, let me ask you another question. Do you want your husband to do what you are currently doing and you know he's supposed to be doing? Do you want your husband to take the spiritual authority that God has given him? By the way, that authority is not to be used as a battering ram. What do you teach your wife, men? Do you teach him that you're lazy in the Lord? Do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Do you show your wife these things? And I know the Bible talks about women just keep coming to church. Eventually your man might get right. Yeah, it's wonderful because it's in there because the Lord knows that we probably won't do what we're supposed to do. Debbie, have you ever wondered if you're coming to church? Huh? Do you know why, Brother Rod? Do you know why? Because you are coming to church. Huh? Huh? My family never has to discuss going to church. Never. And believe me, the subject's been brought up. Well, you're a preacher. Are you serious? Yeah, I'm willing to admit it. We've had the discussion among my children. Oh, church again? We said that in the parking lot on the way over. But we kept walking, and we ended up being here. And I'm going to tell you right now, my kids never have to guess where I'm going to be. My kids never have to guess why I've passed on that. And I'm not holding myself up as something special. Believe me, there's days I don't want to come to church either. But I've got to be honest with you, the days I don't want to come to church and I come anyhow are usually the best days I ever spend in church. Let's keep reading. We're almost done. Love. Look at this. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now look at this verse. We've heard this one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Dad, what are you supposed to pass down to your children? That you don't love the world. All these lessons are here to teach you love not the world. Then look at this. It keeps on going. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Look at verse 21, and I'm going to wrap this up. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. I'm not preaching something to you today that you don't know. I'm not, and I know that. But because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Now, wait a minute. What does that mean, Brother Dave? You know the truth, yet we do everything as dads to do everything we can to make sure that we have one foot in and one foot out. Now, you have a power. I'm imploring you. I'm begging you. I desperately want you to know that you weren't given this power because you weren't worthy of it. Boy, that grips you right away, doesn't it? I mean, I was given three children because I'm able to have three children. God saw fit that I had three children. That doesn't mean because you don't have kids that you weren't worthy. I don't know why you don't have children. Ask God when we see them. But know this. I know I've been given a great responsibility to my kids. That I must give you a good example. Wednesday night, my son has a playoff game in baseball. My son didn't even ask me where we were going to be. Never even came up. Never even came up. There's no choice there. They were dumb for having it on a Wednesday. There's no choice there. Why? Because I want to pass down to my son that church is more important than baseball. But let me help you, men. I didn't make that choice when my son was born. I'm all done right here. I made that choice long before I had kids. The most important thing to me is making sure I'm in my place to pass on to my kids what they need to have passed on to them. Because, men, if we don't pass it on to the next generation, what happens? Are we going to rely on our kids to just wander around until they find the right thing? Are we going to allow our kids just, you're going to have to, I love the new teaching of the world is they have to find their own way in the world. No, that's dumb. They found your way. They don't find their own way. They found your way. What is your way? What do you do? I have a lot of my dad in me. I have a lot of my mom in me because they showed me what to do. I was blessed that God said, hey, maybe you should try over here. But I certainly don't want to take that chance with my kids. What power do you have, Dad? You've been given the power to do something miraculous. And here it is. And it's not even 12 yet. You've been given the power to do something miraculous. Young men, you've been given the power to do something miraculous. Even you, son, have been given the power to do something miraculous. That's to teach the rest of these people here that you don't have to go into the world. You can beat it. Phil, you can teach these kids that look up to you physically and spiritually. You can teach them that you don't have to go into the world. You don't have to look like they look. You don't have to do what they... You can overcome the wicked one. You're still strong. You've got everything going for you. You can teach. And I'm going to tell you, that power that you've been afforded, don't you take that for granted. Because everybody, preachers always preach, you've got a circle of 200 people around you. And men, people watch you.
Yep.
They watch what you do. They see, they learn, they watch. If our preacher were to fall into sin, it would tear lives apart. Because we watch, we look. We should not put him on a pedestal, don't misread me. But understand this, he's our man of God. Your children watch you. The people around you watch you. The young people watch you. I dare say that these teenagers look up to me. They look up to Brother Bobby. They look up to the preacher. There's a lot of men in their lives that they look up to. If I fail you, son, and I don't want to fail you, I may fail, but I don't want to. And if I do, I hope it doesn't hurt your life too much, but I've got to believe somewhere along the line you picked up something from Mr. Ballard along the way. And I hope that you take the good and throw out the bad. But I want to teach you, son, that you can overcome the wicked one. I want to teach you, son, that it matters who you marry. I want to teach you, son, that you don't have to be in the world. I want to teach you, son, that you too must pass on to the ones that come after you that power that's been given to you. The power to shape a life for Christ. And that's been given to you, men. That's a gravitational pull that you can't afford to ignore. You've been commissioned, commandeered to lead the charge for Jesus Christ. And on this Father's Day, I'm begging you to take it seriously. If you don't now, take it seriously because you have shaped lives. And you're continuing to shape them today. And if you're going to shape lives, shape them for Christ. Because you know Him. You know the truth. Pass it on to the ones that are coming after you. Pass it on to them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I am so excited to know that I believe with all my heart I'm surrounded by men that take this very seriously. I'm so excited to know that I believe the men represented in this room know the gravity of the situation. I believe with all my heart, Lord, that the men represented here today know the truth that is Jesus Christ. Know the truth that their sins are forgiven. Know the truth that salvation brings. I believe the men represented in this room know the importance of the Word of God. Lord, I just want us to see what a great power it is. What a wonderful force we are as men. Lord, you've given us the authority, the spiritual authority. Lord, let us take that seriously. I'm certainly not discounting the role of the woman, because so many times the men not doing their job has made the women do the men's job, and that's just not the way it's supposed to be. Lord God, help us. Help us to understand, as men, we've got generations coming behind us. If the Lord tarries, we will not be here forever. And I watch the gray-headed leaving us and going on to glory one after the other, and I pray, oh Lord God, don't let this truth ever leave my heart. I pray, oh Lord God, don't let the men that are around this church let that truth leave their heart. Lord, please help us. Help us to be good teachers. Help us to be power passers, realizing we've got a generation coming after us that desperately need this truth that we have had. Lord, I thank you for my dad. Lord God, I got to see him yesterday. I'm so excited about that. I'm so glad that you saved him. I'm so glad that I'm going to get to spend eternity with my dad. Lord, not everybody's afforded that opportunity. Lord, let us men that still have our parents, let us realize that if they're not saved, they need to be. We can pay it forward as well as passing it on. Oh God, I pray that if there's somebody lost in here today that they don't know you as Savior, Lord God, that they would hear this truth and know that if they would confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I pray that they understand that their sins are forgiven if they'll just ask the Lord to save them. Lord, please help us. Help us to realize that there is a wicked one, that there is a battle, and we men need to fight it. We men need to face it, and we men need to conquer that enemy through Jesus Christ and pass that on to the younger. And then that way they can do it too. Lord, help us today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one